So glad that all of you have been, well, not drowned. And if you have any flooding situation, I want to encourage you to let us know. The people in the church are very open to helping. I want to take the moment before we start to introduce to you Pastor Kai Yoon and Josephine Choi. Would you stand? Most of you know who they are already. They're going to be helping us out in the Chinese congregation as transitional persons at this point. So you're going to see them around a lot. And personnel committee, along with the leadership of the Cantonese, will be working with them as we move forward. They will be replacing Brother John Tam and Jesse. Thank you so much for being willing to do so. And God's perfect timing to bring you back from Phoenix. Welcome. Hebrews 11:6 is a verse that you probably should memorize if you haven't, but certainly you would do wise to print it somewhere or buy a plaque where it says, it is impossible without faith to please God. That means if you are not walking by faith every single day, you're not pleasing God. So if pleasing God matters to you, you want to know what that means. The passage that we read is from Jeremiah, and I want to tell you, as a pastor, and also as a teacher, and also a director of in seminary with a lot of students, being a pastor can be hard, and there's a lot of struggles in the ministry. But I want to tell you, when you read Jeremiah, and when you understand what he went through, we really have nothing to complain about. This is a man and a prophet that God has called to minister for decades, telling people the word of God, the promises of God, the prophecies of God. He is called a weeping prophet. He cried for the people, cried before them and for them before God. They didn't listen to him at all. He didn't quit. He just kept going. And everything that he said God would do, he did, including the destruction of thousands upon thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who were killed and murdered in the worst way, and for the nation to be carried away into captivity into Babylon. He prophesied all that, told the people that if you didn't repent, if you didn't change your way, and they didn't listen to him. I'm not sure one listened to him. It seems like they just said, there goes the old fool again. Same thing. You know, if you share the gospel with people, if you are in ministry of any kind and you do that, you just get destroyed, you know? You spend all that effort and they go out and do whatever they do. I guess it's getting a little closer to be like that today in America. Where being a Christian or the Christian faith is just a matter of mental thing. And yeah, that's what they believe, you know? And even if you really believed it, you know, you can pick and choose what you want to believe. I believe this about salvation. Yeah, I love to go to eternity in heaven, but I don't want to live this way. I want to choose my own life, you know? I want to choose my own career. I want to have my lifestyle. This is what I want to do. This is what we do now. I can imagine Jeremiah maybe feeling kind of comfortable in America today. So, you know what? It was like that back then, too. See, faith is so important. It is not just about mentally knowing something. It is about living it out. And the verse goes on in Hebrews 11:6, and it says, you know, you have to believe that God exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In other words, we have to live that out. It's not just mental. Yeah, God exists, and we go on through our lives. This passage, I love this passage. And those of you that memorize this particular verse. Usually there's one verse that we memorize. It's a really important verse. But I want to share with you four thoughts here about faith. What if God's people walked in faith? What difference would it make? You know, how much would it change in our lives? And how much our families and our nation we touched and transformed if we would walk in faith? And the first thing that we find here is that if we are to walk in faith, we have to embrace. We have to embrace God's providence. Now, what am I saying here? I find it interesting that the first part of this passage, it talks about, this is God's prophecy now. It hadn't even happened yet. The people are going to be in exile. And they're going to be there. They're going to be complaining about their lives. Now, think about it. They were going to be 70 years in Babylon. 70 years is a long time. If you were just born, right, on the first day of the exile, you'll be 70 years old before God releases you back, and the people of Israel will come back. Think about that, 70 years. There are generations, what, 3-4 generations? You can be a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, perhaps even more than that back in those days. 70 years. So God, through Jeremiah, is telling them what life's going to be like. He knew that they're going to complain. Of course you're going to complain. You know, you're going into captivity. You are slaves. And for some chance, perhaps, you have a little freedom. Maybe you can actually do something. Nevertheless, you are going to be living in a situation where, Lord, help you. Who wants to be in that situation? You'll capture people. They drag you by chains and ropes. They bring you from your town, your home in Jerusalem, all the way to Babylon. And there you're going to serve somebody. That's what they're going to bring you there for. You're going to do menial work. You're not going to be in charge of anybody or anything. You're going to be all doing all the things that you wish you didn't have to do. That's your life. And what does God tell them? He tells them to embrace that life. Pray for the city that you're going to be in. If they prosper, you will prosper. Get married, have children, live that life. I said, God, wait a minute, you got a mistake. You made a mistake. You should tell us to pray that we'll be released from that. God said, no. That's my providence for you. And some of the people that's living in Babylon, that will live in Babylon, will never even have known what it means to live in Jerusalem, to be in their own homeland, right? I want to tell you one of the things that happens today. Is that even as Christians, you know, we're like, God, why can't you make my life a little different? There are people that are like, why do I have to have this lousy job? Why do I have to have this marriage I have? Why are my family, my children that way? Why can't I be taller? Why can't I be smarter? Why can't I be richer? Why can't I be better looking? And that's what the world tells us, you know. Don't embrace what you don't have. Go for it. The world tells you, you know, you can look better. A little plastic surgery here. You can get a better job. Just invest a little bit more there. You know, you don't like that wife, get another wife. Those children, forget about them, get some more. You know, that's what the world tells us. But God is saying, I have a plan for you. This is your life. You are going to be in Babylon. Embrace it. God's providence for us. You know, there's a lot of people that just don't like their lives. You know, we talk about it sometimes, and some of you know it. You know, when we're doing church planting, church work in New York, one of the things that happens a lot is the second gen. You know, the second gen of Chinese descent or Asian descent or whatever it is, they come to America, right, and they call third culture kids. And those of you, many of you are second gen, and Houston seems to be a little different, but still you get the same thing. You are in a place that is uncomfortable. And I don't know how many young people I've talked to where they just, you know, because their parents want them to be Chinese, and they can't be because they're born in New York or Houston or wherever else you're born. How do I know what it means to be Chinese? Some of them barely can hold chopsticks. Many of them can't speak, you know, Chinese at all. And then the society, especially in a place like New York or maybe in Indiana, maybe in Dakota or something like that, you walk down the street like my nephew did. He walked down the street in the city that he was born in, Mount Vernon, New York. And somebody yelled out across the street, go back to your own home. He's like, I was born here. What do, you know? And so many of the second gen, they struggle with that. They wonder, why, God? Why can't I be just white America? Because you go through that, you know, you get places. Now, society's changing a bit. It's a lot better now in so many ways. But nevertheless, there's still a lot of people like that. But it's not always just your culture. Sometimes it's just like, why can't I have been born in a more affluent society or more affluent family so I don't have to do this? I remember talking to a bunch of people that used to work in restaurants. Boy, they work hard. And one guy who was the dishwasher, you know. I mean, you work hard. You just labor and labor and labor. And you just wish, you look at the other things, you say, why can't I be that? And oftentimes, even Christians are like that. Why can't I be that? God is telling us, if we want to walk in faith, embrace what God has given to you. God has a great plan for you. You look this way, you're in this situation. Now, sometimes it's because you made some choices. We'll talk about that later. But if it's God's providence, embrace it. Some of you may be single. Some of you may be divorced. Some of you may be in a situation that's very difficult. You know, you struggle. You have all these situations. Right now, you need to embrace what God has put you in and allowed you to be in. If you do that, you can begin to move with your life instead of always thinking what you're not. Embrace God's providence. The second thing we find here is that the Lord, through Jeremiah, told them to discover his truth. You got to what does that mean? We don't. When you open the Bible, you read it. But it says over here that there's going to be a lot of these people telling you, these prophets, these diviners, they're going to tell you what God is saying. And he's saying, I didn't say those things. So don't believe them. One of the things that is really troubling, I believe, in our society, particularly America and the West, is this prosperity teaching that's coming out of the churches today. Now, I don't mind saying it. I'm not knocking any particular church or speakers. But I want to tell you, that is not God's word. You know, when a church says, you know, if you just believe, God would then provide orders for you. No, that doesn't work. Please, if you believe that, just go to some countries in Africa, some countries in Southeast Asia, and you tell those people that. Go to Chris, the island in the Philippines. Go to tell those children, those parents that are living in thatched roofs, mud floor. Tell them, if you just believe, God will put you in a little mansion. No, that doesn't happen. That's just fake, false. It's not right. But that's what the churches are preaching these days. And they were preaching then. Said, just believe these guys. And there's big theologies going out there like that. I mean, we had a stadium full of people, what, a couple years ago, 3 years ago? Where even our governor was there. That was dominion theology. Don't believe that stuff. That theology essentially says the church is going to take over the world. We're going to dominate. We're going to have a dominion in this world. Read the word of God. You see, it's not that. Don't believe those kind of things. If you have been caught up in any of this stuff, read the word of God. Discuss it with people so that you understand. Because the people here in Babylon, for 70 years, they're going to be people there promising them, you know, emphasizing this and this and this and this. And then people will get into it. They'll be disappointed. And they're going to walk away from God and say, God is not real. All the things that I have put myself into, I've sacrificed, I've gone to these places. These preachers are liars. These prophets are fake. And by then he said, you know what? Not only are they liars or fakes, even God is not real. You know how many people have left the church because of these kind of nonsense? Don't believe in them. You walk in God's truth. Find out what it is. Now, there's other theologies that's even closer. And we seem to embrace them. Don't. You need to discover the word of God. And that's why you go to church like this. Get into a small group. Discuss it. If you have a question about it, ask. In the context of God's people and with the word of God open, you can discover it and find truth in those things. But that was what's happening there. And you know, Jeremiah, the Lord God, through Jeremiah says, warns them about it. Don't do it. Don't believe these prophets and diviners. They're always there. The enemy always wants to do that. You're going to take good, godly people and do that to them. I still remember one particular time. And I know your church got involved in that too, just for a moment. Same person, in fact, that came here. Our church is going well, and next thing you know, I got these young people. Pastor Dan, have you been to this place? We went to visit this. The Power Center is called. I said, what? Power Center? Just down the block. You know, our church was right there in the heart of Flushing. And about a block and a half away, somebody rented a little room on the second floor. And this guy's doing Power Center. He can predict anything of our lives. He can heal people everywhere. So about a dozen of our people went there, young people. I said, guys, be careful with this. So I began to investigate it and see what it was. And sure enough, this guy's there doing power center, you know, just healing people. But nobody's getting healed. They just think they are. He's prophesying all kinds of stuff. Next thing you know, we lost about a dozen or so, or maybe closer to 20 young people, because they got so pulled into it, because they wanted that stuff. They wanted it so bad, because all their life, they were solid Christian. I led some of them to the Lord myself personally. He said, it seems to make sense in the Word of God, really. You know, that you come forward, you know, next thing you know, any problem you have in your life, you know, every physical pain is going to go away. One particular guy, he had a blind eye. He wanted an eye to see. I understand that he really wanted to see. Well, that never happened. There are other people that just wanted more money, you know. He promised us, if you give a dollar, God's going to give you 1,000 back. So some of them gave thousands, hoping to be millionaires. That didn't happen either. I know, I can tell you what did happen. They left our church. They left church, most of them, eventually. Discover God's truth. It's so important. You embrace the providential setting that God has given to you and then discover his truth. You find it. It's great. Now, the third thing we find here is we need to know God's nature. Here we have a problem, because if we don't know God's truth, we're not going to know his nature. And too many people that will go to church, well, they don't really know God's nature. Barbara and I, we were graduating from seminary. And you know, about 2 months before we graduated, we said, where are we going to go? We got to get a job, right? Everybody's looking for a job, you know, all graduates. Guys start coming, headhunters from churches. We're interviewing. And so we sat down and we prayed it through, and Barbara and I decided, you know, back in those days, it's 1980 now. You know, we're mixed married. It's not like today. You know, the halfies are really, you know, very popular today. Back then, your halfies no good. You know what a halfie is, right? My sons are halfies. So we thought, okay, you know, we're not really, especially up north in New York, you're just not welcome. I mean, we had rocks thrown through our windows, all kinds of stuff, because of who we are. Said, well, then that means, you know, it seems like God is obviously bringing us to California. Because out in California, people seem to accept mix a lot better. So we thought, you know, I sent out a resume to Central California and San Francisco area, Los Angeles area. And we thought, well, maybe God doesn't want us to go there, but Hawaii is okay. We'll make the sacrifice. Hawaii is okay, too. So we sent resumes there. Those are the only places we sent. But you know, there was a thing going on, and maybe they still have that today, that God would send you to the last place on earth, you know? The place you hate the most, that's where God. Somehow we get this idea that God is that way. He's a cynical, that kind of conniving. Yeah, you want that, I'm not going to give that to you. You hate that, I'm going to give that to you, you know? We get this idea. And sometimes, you know, we just kind of bolster a little bit by just our experiences. So we told the Lord, really, well, in prayer, we said, Lord, we know you don't want us to go to New York because we hate New York. Being New Yorkers, you know, we're done with New York. We got to get out of there, right? And sure enough, 3 months later, we're in New York City, Manhattan. Sometimes we get this idea of God. Though we can, I don't think we can ever go back to New York. I mean, we went back this week for a couple of days. We're shaking the whole time. But the 28 years that we were there, we loved it there. We loved the ministry there. See, we got to know that God's nature is good. You know, that verse that he gives here, let me just read it for you because it's so precious, you know. It is so, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Our God is a good God. He knows us, he made us, and he wants exactly for us to be so happy, to thrive. He's not a God that's going to take away everything that you crave. But our God is a wise God. He knows that many of the things that we want are just horrible for us. But he loves us so much. He knows us He's a good God. And so the people here had to hear that. So they're saying, if that is the case, God, why are we in Babylon? Right? Good question. You might ask God too, God, if you're a good God, why am I in this situation? How many times have I been asked? If God is a good God and he's all powerful, then why are there evil on earth? And why is there evil in my life? So these are the questions we want to ask. But the fact of the matter is, our God is a good God. He sees beyond what we can see. He knows the future and we don't. And Babylon sounds horrible. But for a nation that for hundreds of years now have rebelled against God, that worshiped Baal gods and did all kinds of horrific things, this is what they needed. This is what's going to draw them back. Because God sees beyond the 70 years of our lives. God sees eternity. So that scares me a little bit for America, I want to tell you. You know, for so long, the American nation has worshiped God. And now, if you worship God or say the name of Jesus, you lose your job, you lose all kinds of stuff. I mean, if we're just pulling away, what exactly is God going to do? See, God is good and God loves us. He has a plan for us still. But you need to know God's nature if you're going to walk in faith. Because if you think that if you walk in faith, God's going to give you all these things, you'll be wrong. Because God is not that kind of God. He's a wonderful God. The last thing, this is important. You have to make decisions by faith. You have to choose to believe. A bunch of people made this quote, and so I didn't put a name under it. We make our choices, then our choices make us. Don't you for a moment think that you don't have to make choices. There are a lot of things that you cannot choose. This is how I see the sovereignty of God. It is like this. This is the road that your life is. You can't go here because the parameter does not allow you. I wanted to be an NBA player. That's not going to happen. Too short. Not good enough. You know? But within this parameter of road, you choose. Because God made free people. He made people in his image. With the capacity to choose after him. And so here it is, you know, when I was 13 years old, I had a choice here. Somebody told me, and told me many times, in fact, that Jesus loves me. I had to make a choice whether I want to give my life to this God that loves me or not. Most of my friends did not. They made a choice to forget God, I'm going to live my own life. Me, I made a choice when I was 13 years old. I said, Jesus, come into my life. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. It's a choice. It changed my path because now I walk with God. During this path, I began to make choices, many choices. Some choices I had no idea. You know, I was a second-gen Chinese. Of course I'm going to be an engineer. That's all we ever know how to do. So I studied engineering. When I was 18 years old, God gave me another choice. Said to me, Dan, I want you to go in full-time ministry for me. Are you willing to do that? It took me six months to make that choice because being an engineer was so ingrained in me, I was not going to give that up. But I made that choice. And then during the choice, my path changed again as God moved. And every choice, you know, chose to marry Barbara, or at least she chose to marry me. And then we went together. Choices. One choice after another choice after another choice. In my lifetime, I made so many choices. And now those choices made me. That's why I'm standing here before you. That's why I'm not an engineer. That's why I'm not anything else. That's why my children are the way who they are. My wife's my beautiful wife. You know, that's what it is. You have to make those choices. Don't give it off to somebody else. You are going to be held in full responsibility to every choice that you make or you don't make. And so the people in Babylon, as they are exiled there, they had choices to make. You know, what are they going to do? They are in Babylon. Now, they are Jewish people. They worship the living God. They can make a choice. They can say, well, you know what? I've never been in Jerusalem. I was born 20 years into our captivity. I'm a slave here. Now I got a possibility. I can become a Babylonian. I can follow after their God. I can make choices that they make. I can be, you know, just whatever they do. What's wrong with that? Well, you can do that, but you're making those choices. So you and I are the same thing. God has given us choices. And when we make each one of these choices, they make us. And are you going to do it by faith? Are you going to say, I believe in God, that's why I do it? If you do, you will make a difference in your life like you don't know. You will make a difference in your children's lives, in your spouse's life. You will make a difference in your workplace. You will make a difference in this world. Will you choose to walk by faith? Pray with me. Thank you, God. Thank you for the wonderful lives that you have for all of us. Each one different, but special, precious, designed by you. Oh, Lord, would you help us to live them out by faith? Thank you, God, for being such a good God. In Jesus' name.